And I'm pleased to say that Jack has arrived, looking a bit hot and bothered, I've got to say. Yeah, Jack Whitewood's with us. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. You are sort of the legend behind the Ventnor Fringe and the new venue, the Ventnor Exchange, aren't you?
Yeah, that's a very grand introduction.
Yeah. Could you start off just by telling us how you got there? I mean, you are a lot younger than I am. So how did you go from, presumably, did you go to uni and then it's like a fast track through to Ventnor Fringe and Ventnor Exchange? How did it all happen, Jack?
Well, I've always been interested in theatre in particular. And I went to university, I went to drama school in London. Yeah. And but we started the Fringe before that. We started the Fringe in 2010.
Okay.
So that was in the first year of university. So it was all starting quite a bit before.
Oh, okay. So you'd already gone to university and Ventnor Fringe, you just launched it as you do.
Yeah.
Even though you're a full-time student.
Yeah, well, it was a way of us having a real reason to come back during the summer to the island. And we felt like there was a real gap in arts provision on the island. The island's got a great music scene. And it does have a great dramatic scene as well, but there's quite big sections that are really missing from what's on offer. So we wanted to try and help to fill that gap, basically.
Yeah. And you spotted that way back, what, 5 years ago now?
The Fringe started in 2010.
Yeah.
It's modelled and inspired by Edinburgh. Yeah, that's the inspiration behind it, and the Brighton Fringe as well, and it works in the same similar setup.
Okay.
To those festivals.
Okay, but what is it that inspires you? I mean, you said you studied drama, so from an early age, has that been the love of your life, art?
Yeah, as long as I can remember, I've always been involved in theatre. I remember doing lots of things at Shanklin Theatre when I was little, but then as I got older, I guess your first interest, if you do that kind of thing, is you go to amateur dramatic groups on the island and you do all the sort of standard things people do, musicals and pantomimes and those kind of things. And as I got a bit older, I realised that wasn't really what interested me.
Yeah.
And it was much more interested in drama. And then moving on from there, I was more interested in writing and then more interested in producing. So it's just sort of a route that I guess you can kind of go through.
Okay.
I studied directing at drama school. And production and producing as well. So, and then I worked at Hampstead Theatre and Literary Department there, so I've been quite involved in that kind of role as well.
Yeah, I seem to remember you saying when we met a while ago that you were, a script editor for the theatre or?
Yeah, well, I worked in the Literary Department. So, so Hampstead Theatre is one of a number of theatres in London that accept unsolicited scripts, which means that you don't have to have an agent to send your script there.
Yeah.
Every single play is read, so that's a big job in itself. So there's quite a small writing team, a reading team, sorry, that have to go through all of those, and they all have to have reports written on them. So it's a lengthy process,
but enjoyable, I'm sure.
Most of the time. Yeah.
And have you, you talked about your own sort of acting and writing and directing career. What sort of stuff could you throw in? What people who are listening, would they have seen you on stage on the Isle of Wight?
Hopefully
did you give that up? Did you give that up 5 years ago or before?
Yeah, I haven't done anything like that for a long time. The only thing I've been involved a little bit more is recently is a couple of weeks ago, actually, the Exchange had a show called Snail Mail, which was an immersive children's theatre piece, and that was a piece I was involved in directing.
Okay.
But that's the first thing I've done on the island for a long time, yeah.
How did it feel?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it went really well. Really
you've got enjoyable. A taste for it now.
Yeah, it was quite a tight schedule because we had we only had 4 days with the actors. To rehearse and devise the whole production, and then it ran for a week. But it was nice. It was interesting to have that here. There's not really anyone on the island that's actually commissioning work, so that was exciting to do and to be involved in.
Yeah. Okay. So the stuff you mentioned about back at uni and having done all the usual sort of Amdram stuff and pantomimes and musicals, and then You talked about identifying something else, the gap, that you, as you call it. Can you define what that gap is? How would you explain what you tried to do when you founded the Fringe?
Well, I guess with musicals and pantomime, it's about entertainment, isn't it? It's a very energetic and exciting sort of form of entertainment. But what we were interested in was a bit beyond just entertainment. It was about trying to the other things that art can do, you know, about instigating thought and debate and discussion, and exploring all sorts of different things. In terms of the Fringe, it was about trying to create an opportunity for artists of all different disciplines to showcase work. So the Fringe isn't just theatre, there's music, there's film, there's visual arts. And also to encourage those different art forms to meet and cross over, because at the moment that doesn't really happen. And actually a lot of artists can gain a lot from meeting artists of other disciplines. A lot of exciting collaborations can happen, and even if they don't, just the opportunities to exchange experiences. And also it was about trying to create a festival which was unlike anything else that exists on the island, where you have a big tradition of field-based music festivals, which are fantastic. But what we wanted to do was create something that was much more city-like, I guess, in its vibe, trying to create something which uses all of the unconventional spaces that exist around Ventnor, where we're based, and trying to make something that we felt really came from the place, you know, that really summed up what it was like for the artists living there.
Okay, that's brilliant. And so Ventnor Fringe began in 2010.
Yes.
How would you describe its reception first year? What was it like? Was it a success right from the beginning, or has it been a struggle to build up?
The only two things I remember from the first year are being really nervous the whole time and my phone ringing all the time. I remember we had two of my favourite all-time people come to the first year of the Fringe. We had a folk artist called Johnny Flynn, who did a tiny little a show in a church for 200 people.
Yeah.
And my favourite filmmaker of all time, which is a French filmmaker called Vincent Moon, who ran a pop-up cinema for 4 days. He came with a cellist called Gaspar, and they were sort of, you know, the most stereotypically French people you can imagine, and they were fantastic. And that was, so right from the offset, it felt like something really special. And it started very small. We had, I think it was about 300 people at the first Fringe, so it was a small-scale event over 4 days. But right from the beginning, it felt like it had its own distinct feel and identity, and I think it's managed to, or I like to think over time, it has articulated that. It's got its own real style to it.
So you've never looked back, really, from that first one. You knew right from year one that this was what you wanted to do, and it was a formula that would work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it's probably worth explaining what a Fringe is, because it is different to other types of festivals in the way that it works. So we don't book and program artists on the whole. Anybody can apply to take part. It's essentially a big cooperative, so people run their own events, and 100% of ticket sales go back to the artists. The Fringe essentially just coordinates all of those events together, and we create all the venues and all the infrastructure and all the general promotion and all the ticketing, but the events are individually run by the artists themselves. Yeah. So it's nice, as an audience member, you know that your money is going directly back to that artist or that company.
Yeah, okay. And is that a big part of the, I don't know, the ethos behind it? I think you've named your new venue, which we'll talk about later, Ventnor Exchange, and that's, you mentioned that word several times already, haven't you? This exchange of ideas, and that's what the Fringe is about.
It's a kind of a real specific ethos. There's a big movement around the country and around the world of this Fringe movement, and it's something that we try and articulate to people, because it's a word that's often misused or used by other people to mean different things. And a Fringe festival has that really specific business model. So the word actually comes from Edinburgh. The Edinburgh Fringe started in 1947, I believe. And essentially what happened was, after the war, there was a sense that the people needed some sort of positivity, and the government, in its infinite wisdom, decided that what Edinburgh really needed was a big arts festival. So they programmed lots of opera and lots of classical music, and a lot of local people felt a bit alienated from what was being put on. And so a group of artists decided to put some events on anyway at the same time, without that being officially part of the programme. And it was a journalist that described those events as happening on the Fringe.
Yeah.
And that's where the word came to and stuck. And the first box office in Edinburgh was in a student's bedroom. And it's grown into the largest arts festival in the world. In its own small little way, Ventnor's story is very similar. It's it's about people wanting to create something which is distinct from the mainstream, and something which is artist-led, and is very grassroots as well. Same, very similar. And it's grown you know, in the same kind of way.
Yeah, fantastic.
Not on that scale.
Not yet. Okay, we're going to take a bit of a break. We're going to listen to some music and hear from some of the sponsors who make Vectis Radio possible. But when we come back, we'll chat in a bit more to Jack about the Fringe and more specifically the new Vendor Exchange. So stay with us. Run to you. There you go. Welcome back to the Monday Magazine with Kevin, and I'm chatting away here furiously to Jack Whitewood of Ventnor Exchange and Ventnor Fringe. And Jack, we were talking earlier about both those things, but particularly Ventnor Fringe and how it's built up from, what, 2010?
Yeah.
So now we're heading for 2015's version.
Yeah, it's come very quickly.
Where are we up to with it? What's happening at the moment? Is it a time for people to apply to take part, or has that window closed?
No, it's still open. So, the applications for all artists, both for the Free Fringe and for ticketed shows, are still open.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, it's open to any type of artist. So whether it's a spoken word poet, a musician, a theatre maker, of all different scales and sizes. And people can get in touch with us and we can explain more about how that process works.
Okay.
But yeah, applications are still open. They've been coming in thick and fast in the last kind of 3 weeks in particular. And so we're at the stage of designing, creating and booking all the spaces that will be our pop-up venues. We're up to about 25 venues now, so it's it's a big job.
25 venues in Ventnor. Are there some new ones in there?
There are some new ones, yeah. We've got, we're hoping to have the return of the Secret Bar that hasn't been around for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
The Observatory Bar on the seafront, and we turned the harbour on the Esplanade into a bar. And the front there, we turned to a street theatre area. The Woodland Bar returns. We've obviously got our theatre spaces. We've got the Exchange for the first time. So all sorts of different areas and spaces. The Arts Club, the churches, all sorts, different shapes and sizes.
Yeah. But how would you, I mean, for those who don't know, how would you describe its growth? Is it a sort of steady expansion over 5 years, or did it leap a certain year and suddenly take off? How is it, what does the graph look like from 2010?
It's been a gradual growth. Last year was a bit of a step up. It grew quite a bit. But I guess, to put it in perspective, we had around 50 performers in 2010. We're up to about 350 performers now, or last year. And we have around 3,500 to 4,000 people attending the festival now. So it's grown quite a bit. And it's over 6 days rather than four. And then on top of that, there is the carnival event. The carnival takes place in the same week. And there's also the Isle of Wight Film Festival, which takes place at the same time as well. So in total, there's quite a lot of people around. And that's been exciting to see that grow, to be honest, and see how it's developed.
Is it down to you marketing, do you think, or are people just coming? Are you marketing more aggressively, or is it just word of mouth and people now see Ventnor Fringe as a must attend event for them, a showcase for them?
We have a lot of return visitors, so we do a quite a bit of analysis each year, and we look back and try and get feedback from people. And there are a lot of people that have been to the festival, if not since the very beginning, certainly for the last kind of 2-3 years. And that they keep coming back is really nice to know that they really enjoyed it and want to return. But also they are our word of mouth, and also a lot of artists and companies return again. And tell other people to come, and it's kind of like a community of people that keeps growing, as opposed to there being some sort of massive new marketing campaign. We have to spend our resources really carefully, so we advertise in very specific places, and we try and be quite targeted with it. But it is mainly all about this sort of community of people and a word of mouth developing it and spreading it, which is great that it's being successful in that way.
Yeah, it is. Fantastic achievement. And it's not just you, of course. I keep bigging you up, don't I? It's Jack. But several times you've mentioned, we have done this, we have done that. So who are...
The mysterious
team. Who are the others?
Yeah, well, it was founded by six of us in this team. All young people that have grown up on the island. Apart from one is Becky, who we've adopted from Weymouth as resident Ventnorite.
Good lord.
Ventnorian. we're all grown up on the island, and everybody went off to different universities, but had a common cause to want to come back and do something here. Obviously during the festival, we're reliant on a lot of people that donate lots of time and energy to help out as well. Yeah. Lots of people both locally and from the mainland come to volunteer, which is really, really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I could talk to you forever, but I promise I won't. But one of the things that fascinates me is that idea of young island people. I sound like your granddad now, but young island people wanting to come back, whereas so many young island people think, right, okay, I'm off to uni and you won't see me again.
Yeah.
What is it that motivated all of you to want to come back and make a success of the Ventnor Fringe, for example?
I think it is partly a sign of the times. So, traditionally people that do go off to university or to colleges or to work on the mainland don't return until they're much older. We were all, I think of us, I was, I think we all were in different locations in London. And as anybody that has any links to London will know, it's ridiculously expensive. And your views of what is like suddenly a good value change completely. So you're like, this little one bedroom hovel seems great value. I think what is happening with rent in London is outrageous, and it is slowly completely changing who lives in different places. So it's partly that. It's partly actually you can't necessarily be do everything you want to do in somewhere where it's so expensive and you don't have support to be there. But it's also a sort of, we all left and sort of suddenly realised a lot of the things about the island that we really admire. You could do things here that felt really appreciated and needed, as opposed to creating another festival or event in London where it is brimming with events.
Yeah,
and also, there's something quite interesting in people on the Isle of Wight have an idea that there's something quite different, that it's different to the mainland, but that's never really been articulated as to what that is. What is the island's identity? And that's something which, as creators and wanting to create something from the island, is quite exciting. Most of our biggest cultural events haven't come from the place, so they don't really articulate that. So it's interesting to explore what is actually... What is distinct about our culture and style.
Yeah, and of course it was always a sort of hotbed of literary talent, wasn't it, the island? So you're probably replicating that, aren't you?
The history of the island and Ventnor in particular is massively inspired everything we do. So from how we name spaces and right through to what they were actually doing at that time.
Yeah.
There's the literary circle. More recently, there's the waves of musicians, bands like the Bees, and obviously more recently bands like Champs that have all come from the area, and they're all inspire the whole ethos. Yeah,
yeah, and we're all delighted that you've got lots of bars as well for the Fringe.
Of course, that's also an integral part of local culture.
That's a good move. And finally, Jake, just tell us a little bit more about Ventnor Exchange. You opened it, the end of 2014?
Yeah, in December we opened. So the Exchange is located in the old post office in Ventnor, which we were very pleased to get. We'd been after a place for a long time. It's a lovely old columned Victorian building that was very run down. We've been slowly restoring. It now houses a record store, a small theatre space, and a bar with lots of craft beers. And the idea really is to try and create a little bit of what we do with the Fringe year-round, and to also be more involved in actually instigating and commissioning new work and providing a real showcase of new work. So whether that's inviting artists down on residencies on the island, through to commissioning local artists to produce new work, that's what we felt was really missing at the moment. Not so much space, but the capacity.
Okay. And are you doing all the work yourselves inside, refurbishing it?
Mostly,
good for you. Good.
Lots of volunteers helping as well.
Yeah, well, I've got me paint overalls at home. So,
Come down and paint a wall.
So now is your chance, Jack. Any shameless plugs that you want to put
in? Shameless plugs.
Any events coming up?
Also, well, Saturday is Record Store Day, which you might have seen this week. The official charts have announced that they're going to be having a vinyl charts from now on, as they think it's going to hit 2 million vinyl sales this year for the first time in a very long time. So we're the only store on the island taking part in Record Store Day. We've bid for lots of the Record Store Day releases. It's an opportunity to get vinyl that is only released on that day.
Great.
So we'll be having a whole day of local live music, talks. The Headfunk guys from Vectis Radio are going to be doing some bits as well.
Yeah.
We're also screening lots of films about music, all on Saturday, all free.
Fantastic.
And then the following week's Isle of Arts, we've got a company called String Theatre with a marionette puppet show. And the Undecided Art Collective are also hosting another exhibition.
Fantastic. Oh, instant roundup there.
Awesome.
And where can people find out more?
Our website is ventnerexchange.co.uk. The festival's website is vfringe.co.uk.
Yeah.
It's on Facebook, Twitter, and all those usual places as well.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks very much.
Coming in.